Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of our Lord on this morning. My name is Robert Adams. I'm the minister here of this congregation, and we're especially pleased to welcome all those who may be joining us online for worship. It's a pleasure to have you with us. This morning, we are marking Black History Sunday and celebrate the contribution of people of color to the life of our congregation and our society. And this morning, we're pleased to have as a guest preacher, Keppel Barrett. And I don't know how much of an introduction I need to give to Keppel, but Keppel's not really a guest preacher when he comes to St. John's. He is an elder here, and we're pleased to have Keppel contributing to worship this morning. Before I forget, because I forgot to write it down, a thank you to everyone who worked so hard last night for our Mexican haggis supper and Celtic music celebration. It was a wonderful time. I think there seemed to be lots of smiles, so I think everybody was very well pleased with last night's event. So thank you to everyone who worked so hard to make that a possibility. The annual meeting here at St. John's will be held on Sunday, February 23rd, following worship, and there will be a light luncheon provided for those who are staying for the annual meeting. And I guess it's good to remember to announce that this year it will not be live streamed, because we did get into that habit over COVID of live streaming the annual meeting, but over last year and this, we're back to the practice of gathering in the hall for the annual meeting. And finally, a reminder to members of session that we will be meeting on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. via Teams. That means nothing for most people here, but for members of session, we are changing the means by which we do our electronic meetings from Zoom to Teams. We practiced that. Some of it worked well in December, some of it not so much. So the invitation will go out tomorrow morning for the Teams meeting. If you are not confident about this, Dan and I are going to be here in situ on Tuesday evening to do two things: to facilitate people who want to come and meet here with us. We will be here, and to do the best we can to doctor with your devices so that we won't have to do that the next time we meet electronically. But for Tuesday evening, the tech team will be here to support for that meeting for those who are still struggling a little bit with the change in platform. As we come into the house of our Lord this morning, we light the Christ candle of a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in his pathways and live in his truth. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Let us sing and pray in God's presence.
Praise be to God.
For God has created the world and called it good.
Praise be to God.
In Christ, God has redeemed the world and defeated the powers of death.
Praise be to God.
The Holy Spirit is at work in the world, calling us to follow Jesus.
All praise and glory to God, Holy One and Holy Three.
Let us pray. God, ever creating, ever loving, ever leading, your presence is peace when we are frantic. Your word is truth when we face deception. Your spirit offers freedom when we are paralyzed by fear. You give purpose in confusing times. You call for justice when the world settles for inequality. For all that you are, all that you have been, and all that you will be, we worship you as the source of life, the promise of redemption, and the spirit of love in action. One God, now and forevermore. Amen. And as we come in worship this morning, we open in praise, singing 638, Will You Come and Follow Me? Hymn 634, or as it appears before you on the screen. Seated. Let us turn to the Most Holy One, confessing our sin, confident in God's faithfulness and steadfast love for us. Let us turn now in confession to God as we say the prayer as it appears on the screen. Merciful God, you call us to fullness of life, but we confess our shortcomings. We have wandered from your ways and wasted your gifts. We have ignored your grace at work among us and focused on loss and complaint. We have been suspicious of the motives of others, too quick to judge and too slow to forgive. Give us the courage to see clearly who and what we are. With your forgiveness, cleanse us from all our faults and failings, and inspire us to walk in new ways. Amen. Friends, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Not even death can separate us from the love of God, made known to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is good news. Through Christ we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We're going to sing a new hymn. This is going to be dangerous, so be ready. Many years ago, I had a choir director, and one day she came into the office and she said, "Why do we never sing 'We Are Marching in the Light of God'?" And I said to her, "Have you looked at the music?" And she went, Oh, okay, now I understand. So we're going to teach you part of We Are Marching in the Light of God. Now, the first part is really simple. And the words, there you go, the words are up there. The words are really simple. If you don't master the words of We Are Marching in the Light of God, we got a trouble, kids. We are marching in the light of God. Say it with me. In the light of God. There you go. You now have the words for two-thirds of the hymn. So you don't have to worry about that anymore. It starts very simple. So, Minna, can we play to the first repeat? We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. And you heard me say it repeats. So, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. If you have a problem with that, put your hand up now. Hey, you've got 50% of this hymn down. Here's the tricky part. If you have your hymn book open at 639, you will notice there are words above the music. We're going to teach you the words above the music, which is we are marching, ooh, we are marching in the light of God. So we're actually, ignore that. That first line, ignore that. We are marching, ooh, we are marching in the light of God. And guess what? It repeats. If you can do all of that, you have just learned the first part of We Are Marching in the Light of God. So I'm going to ask Minna to put all of the music together and play it through once. And once we get around to the beginning again, we're going to join her. Since Keppel picked it, we will continue to learn it, but it's Keppel's fault. I told him, this is a dangerous hymn to try to teach. Preston, come on over. We're at Janiyah Shore today. She's sick. Oh, I'm sorry. Will you say hello to her for us? Good. And Izzy's here. Come on down, Izzy. Hannah. We got everybody. Fleur, you don't want to come down, do you? Okay. You can listen from there. Come on down, Keppel. This is my friend, Keppel. some of you will know Keppel, and I don't know if Preston's met Keppel yet or not, but this is my friend Keppel, and he's telling the story this morning.
I'm going to tell you a story. Am I on, Mike? Yes, yes, I am. I am. I'm going to tell you a story about fishing. Fishing. And I made this in my garage this morning, much to the chagrin of my dog, because he couldn't figure out what I was doing with his stick. Dogs have a thing about sticks. If you want to try get them out of any misery, give them a stick, and they will chew on it till it's nothing left. In the West Indies, a lot of people fish. We don't have the fishing gear that you have here in Canada, but we are taught to fish so that we can get something to eat. So my mom used to make us go to a little rock. I grew up right next to the ocean. And we would go to a rock. We weren't allowed to go into the water. Because although we did not have internet, you went into the water, and before you reached home, word would get back, and then you'd have a hard time sitting a few minutes. Be spanked. So what we had to do, we had to get a long bamboo rod, and this is actually a bamboo rod, a very small one that I use for my tomato steaks. And we got a string, and we attached the string to the bamboo, and then we got a hook, and I could not get a rock out of the garden this morning. We'd tie a rock to the end there, and then we would throw it as far as we can, and this would land. The rock would be on the bottom, if you can visualize that. The rock would be on the bottom, and then the hook would be just dangling. And my brother was much better at fishing than I was, and he would just jiggle this, and then the fish would think, oh, that's alive. And then they'd bite it, and it would pull a little bit on the string, so you know you got a nibble, and then he will just yank it, and you got a fish. It's amazing. But the story that we're going to be told this morning is not about fishing for fish, but it's about fishing for people. We all have been given skills. Even though you're small or you're young, you will get skills in life. And it's up to you to show other people what your skills are and encourage them to do the best that they can with the skills that they have. Now, I invited one of my friends from Montreal, sitting right behind you, a young engineer who I hope will be at some point the VP of engineering. No pressure, no pressure. But she has skills, and she asked me to help her. So we create the family of God by fishing to see who has the skills that you have and you would others who have the skills that you want. So that when you get into a position where you identify who is the go-to persons, whether they be male or female, you can get the best people in the world to do what you want. And that is what God means by teaching people to fish. Teaching people to fish. Not to catch fish itself, but to allow others to do the best job that they can. And if that's the only thing we learn today, then we would have met our goals. Now, why did we carry a bucket when we go fishing? Do you tell me?
To put your fish.
That's right. So what we used to do, we used to take a little bit of water from the ocean, put it in the bucket, right? And then when we catch the fish, take it off the hook, and we put it into the bucket. So it stays alive, because Trinidad is very hot. If you were to leave the fish on the beach, they would rot. So we would put it in the bucket, and then when we got home, we had fish to eat. Now, it's amazing. The time between us catching the fish, and by the time we got home, and my mom cleaning the fish, and it was into your stomach, would be 2 hours. I would pay a lot of money for that today. The fish that you get in the grocery just doesn't taste the same. So that's my story about fishing. Fishing as we did, for fish, but fishing as God teaches us today to assist people in whatever they do. All right? So can we have a little prayer before you head off to Sunday school? Trish, you're taking them down? Laura, okay, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us in this service. We thank you for allowing us to celebrate Black History Month here in Canada. We ask that you teach us to encourage other people to do their best. Please grant us these wishes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, off you go to Sunday school.
And we will continue in prayer, praying as we have the last little while in our prayer of illumination, a sung prayer over my head. The words will appear before you on the screen, but you should have it almost by memory now, too. Let us pray.
Peace be unto you all. Our scripture reading today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots of the threshold shook at the voice of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal and had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of these people dull, and stop their ears, and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes, and listen to their ears and comprehend, and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed. Then I said, how long, O Lord? He said, until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away and vast in the emptiness in all the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak whose stump remains standing. When it is felled, the holy seed is its stump. I will continue with a second reading, which is Psalm 138, and that will be the responsive reading. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praises.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Exalted your name and your word above everything.
On that day I called, you answered me, you increased my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
I will continue with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. Now I want to understand, brothers and sisters, the good news that I proclaim to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed unto you as of first importance what I turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you believed.
We continue our service this morning with singing hymn number 753. Now, this hymn was composed by Samuel S. Wesley, and it was published as a setting for the Jerusalem, which they called Jerusalem the Golden. The tune was originally a love song that was composed in 1575 by Johann Sterling in Germany. It's a setting, well, it's written in German, but Sterling actually studied law. He was not a hymn writer, and he wrote it as a poem, which was then converted into song. He lived from 1569 near Washington, near Millington, where he died 80 years later. Let us sing number 753, "You Walk Along Our Shoreline." We turn now to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, entitled, "Jesus Calls the Disciples to Fish for People." Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat and taught the crowd from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down my nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch that they had just taken. And so also were James and John, son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Then they brought their boats to the shore. They left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Before I start, I'd like to thank the people of St. John's for inviting me so that we can observe Black History Month. It's important that we do this because as a church, we are comprised of all people in the world, every race, creed, and color that you can think about. But before I start my sermon, there are a lot of people who have made this possible. It's not only me doing a little job, Reverend Adams. It's the choir, it's the technical team, the people that clean the church, the people that prepares the coffee for you after, the technical team that's sending this live stream to everyone, including a lot of my family and friends that follow me on my journey. Thanks be to God for all of you for coming. I would also like to thank God for giving me the strength of mind and the strength of voice to write and deliver this message to you. My lesson today is based on the studies that I have been doing in the last few months. I am focusing specifically on the slave Bible, and we will discuss what that means. But Sir Walter Scott, wrote a small poem. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. The Bible tells us that faith is the belief, trust, and loyalty to a person or thing. Christians find their security and hope in God as revealed through Jesus Christ. Now, my birth country, Trinidad, was home to many slaves who were brought to the West Indies 3 centuries ago. At that time, sugar was in demand. It could be grown very easily in the West Indies. However, there were no machines, no mechanization. So there was a need for strong, robust men to clear the fields, plant, harvest, till, nurture. And then, when the sugarcane was fully grown, they would cut it and process it into refined sugar, which was in demand in England. Now, when slavery was legal, its proponents often justified it with the Bible, specifically verses that told them, the slaves, to obey their masters. There were also a lot of verses that abolitionists could and did use to argue against slavery. But you would not find those verses in the heavily redacted slave Bible. Now, what is the slave Bible? It was originally published in 1807 by Law and Gilbert under the name, and it's a very long name, Selected Parts of the Holy Bible for the Use of Negro Slaves in the British West Indies. Now, these publishers were responsible for printing much of the literature produced by, and this is another long term, the Society for the Conversion and Religious Instruction and Education of the Negro Slaves in the British West Indies. I guess they loved long names back then. But when we think of this Bible, we have to think of the phrase I started with. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. Baal B. Porteous, the Bishop of London in 1794, made a name for himself by preaching to the Society for the Propagation of the Gospel in Foreign Parts, of which he was a member. His sermon encouraged abolition to a relative degree and demands that Christians offer kind treatments of the slaves, especially at their plantations in Barbados and Jamaica. Throughout his career, Porteous continually advocated for the end of the slave trades, but by today's standards, his views were not radical enough. Yet they form part of the trajectory towards full abolition in 1833. Porteous's society are the ones who produced the Slave Bible. The Slave Bible has a lot of things missing on it. The Slave Bible does not include Moses leading the Israelites to freedom, but it does include Joseph's enslavement in Egypt. In the U.S., some sermons aimed at enslaved people portrayed Joseph as someone who accepts his lot in life, keeps his faith, and in the end is rewarded for it. The Slave Bible may have wanted to impart a similar lesson to its audience. Passages that emphasize equality between groups of people were excised. This included, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye all are one in Christ. That's from Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. The Slave Bible also doesn't contain the book of Revelations, which tells of a new heaven and earth in which evil will be punished. In contrast, a passage that remained was one that proponents of slavery loved to recite. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. That is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. In today's world, when your faith is tested and you struggle to keep believing God's truth and promises, you must turn to scriptures for inspiration and encouragement. The first Slave Bible was published in 1807, 3 years after the Haitian Revolution ended. Now, that revolution was the only slave revolt in history in which enslaved people successfully drove out their European oppressors to form a new nation. And it increased American and European paranoia that the people they oppressed would one day rise up against them. The Haitian Revolution could have been a motivation for publishing a Bible without the part where Moses tells the Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Missionaries and planters may have thought that Christianity, or parts of it, would protect against revolts by teaching the slaves to respect their masters. However, the Slave Bible was lacking, as it contained a selection of 14 books out of the 66 that makes up the Protestant canon. This was roughly 10% of the Old Testament and almost 50% of the New Testament. The other books were not shown to the slaves. Most of the Old Testament was missing, and only about the half of the New Testament remains. There is no book of Revelations, as I mentioned, that promises a new world where evil will be punished. The reason? Well, the enslaved Africans in the Caribbean islands of Antigua, Barbados, Haiti, Jamaica, and Trinidad couldn't read or be read anything that might incite them to rebel against the plantation owners. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we practice to deceive. The British may have thought that teaching enslaved people biblical lessons about obedience and accepting one's fate would make them much better slaves. Whoever the Slave Bible editors were, they were really highlighting portions that would instill obedience. Says Anthony Schmidt, a curator at the Washington, D.C. Museum of the Bible, which has a copy of the Slave Bible on display. Take a note, going off script. I hope to visit this at some point after the next 4 years. In scripture, God tells us that when we have troubles in this world, we should not lose heart. He also promises that we have victory through our faith because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. So against all odds, slaves in unthinkable situations still managed to sing, to keep their spirits high. They sang. Now, they lived in small shacks. It was not a 5-star hotel that was situated very far away from the plantation's owner's house. And at night when they go to bed, they would sing. We shall overcome, we shall overcome, we shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday. Yes, they sang and they overcame. Singing seems to transport the mind, the spirit, and the body. It brings out the best in us. When my parents were preparing the Sunday meal, they always sang. My mom sang the proper words. My father sang something else and had to be corrected every other word. But let us reflect on the readings that we had in Psalm 138 this morning. The Lord is high. He regards the lowly. Though we walk in the midst of trouble, he preserves us from the wrath of our enemies. He stretches out his hand to deliver us. The Lord fulfills his purpose for us. His love endures forever. This love does not show itself in the ways and timing that we specify, but it is constant and enduring regardless of our circumstances. When I was growing up, my school teachers told us that the tools to success lies in your book bag, in your heart, and in your brain. Alignment of these entities will spell success. Sure, you will have to work hard through the night. You will tire yourself and not complete the tasks, but do not give up. Rely on the fact that God will provide your needs. Let us acknowledge our privilege. It is a privilege that scriptures are available to all of us. What a blessing we have. We have unedited access to God's word to reflect on, to guide us without restriction. At night, when you retire, leave a place for him in your heart and in your mind so that he can guide you as you sleep. We really do not know how and when he will come to guide us. But he does come, and issues that you have pondered during the day will be resolved as you sleep. He tells us where to throw our nets to have a great catch. So be patient. You have the book bag. You have the heart and the mindset to look to him for guidance. So just let it be. Wait, listen, and focus. And while you wait, continue to give to him all glory and honor for all that he has done for us and will continue to do for us. Do not recite the words, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we choose to deceive." Amen. We now read responsively the affirmation of faith, which will be showing up to the screens in front of you. God is always calling the church to seek that justice in the world which reflects the divine righteousness revealed in the Bible.
God's justice is seen when we deal fairly with each other and strive to change customs and practices that oppress and enslave others.
Justice involves protecting the rights of others. It protects against everything that destroys human dignity.
Justice requires concern for the poor of the world. It seeks the best way to create well-being in every society. It is concerned about employment, education, and health, as well as rights and responsibilities.
Justice seeks fairness in society. It involves the protection of human beings, concern for the victims of crime as well as offenders. It requires fair laws, justly administered, courts and penal institutions that are just and humane.
Justice opposes prejudice in every form. It rejects discrimination on such grounds as race, sex, age, status, or handicap. Justice stands with our neighbors in their struggle for dignity and respect and demands the exercise of power for the common good.
As we come to the offering, God of surprising generosity, Jesus, encouraged his disciples to keep on fishing when they thought their nets were empty. He encourages us to keep giving even when needs seem overwhelming and resources scarce. We entrust our gifts to you with the faith that you can surprise us and others through all that can be accomplished through Jesus' name. Amen. Now we will have a short anthem, verses 1 and 4 of number 399. So I will head back to the choir loft, take off my paraphernalia with me.
Spirit of restlessness, stir me from pain.
Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts that our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us pray. God, our Creator and our Redeemer, you have given us a universe full of wonders that we cannot begin to understand. We thank you for all the blessings of your creation. Ruler of the nations, we thank you for the country in which we live, a country where we can live in freedom, a country where we can worship you as we choose. Head of the church, we thank you for our denomination and for this congregation. We thank you for all the people who give so much of themselves in support of your ministry in this place and around the world. God, our healer and our comforter, we ask that you would be with those who are sick, all those who are suffering, all those who are grieving, all those who are lonely. We ask your blessing also on those whom we name in our hearts at this time. God, who calls us to follow, we ask that you continue to inspire us upon our journey of faith. May we as a congregation be a source of hope and light in this community. May you give us strength to carry on as your faithful ones, sometimes lost, sometimes found, always in your care and keeping. We pray for your church in all places around this world, that it may be healed and renewed. God of reconciliation, you have created the universe with rich diversity. We thank you for the contributions of Afro-Caribbean people to our world and our community. We pray for African refugees everywhere, struggling to find safety and security. We pray for wrongly and unfairly sentenced and imprisoned Black people who have fallen prey to an unjust justice system. We pray along with their families seeking justice and resolution. We pray for your people who are facing persecution each day, and we ask you for courage and compassion to be allies, not just for one day or one month, but ongoing, honoring our calling to follow Jesus in a commitment to love. Loving God, your Son promised that our prayers would be heard by you. Remind us of your will for us and encourage us to live in your light. And now, with your church throughout the world and down through the ages, we come together as your family here on earth, praying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 712 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you. Arise, your light is come. Hymn 712. let us go out into the world ever seeking to widen the circle of God's love. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.